Welcome to the Park Magic Podcast, your place for insider tips for your next Disneyland adventure. Whether you're a first-timer or first-time-in-a-while visitor, we're here to unwrap the secrets to creating and simplifying your dream Disneyland vacation.
We're back giving you more tips for planning your next Disneyland adventure, and I have repeat guest Selena back on because we have so much fun together. We love recording, and we both have this big love in Disney, and we agree on most things. Like, there's a lot of things that we see completely 100% eye to eye on, and there's some things that we have slight disagreements on, and today we're talking about one of the things that Selena and I slightly disagree on, even though both of us have stayed at pretty much all of the Disneyland hotels and many of the hotels that are within walking distance and even driving distance. We each have different preferences. Selena, what is your preference when it comes to staying at the Disneyland Resort?
I am on property, 100% on property. I won't go off property anymore. The last time I did was in 2019, and I vowed that it would be the last time, barring something insane happening, like if I were to get a comp week at the West End over by the convention center or something. But absolutely 100% on property. And my preference of the three on property hotels at the Disneyland Resort is, of course, the classic Disneyland hotel.
And if you're new to like Disneyland lingo, we talk about on property and off property. When we say on property, we mean one of the three Disneyland hotels. That means the Disneyland Hotel, Grand Californian, Pixar Place Hotel, which is very nice and newly remodeled. And the benefit, people will also say like in the Disney bubble or outside of the Disney bubble, because when you stay on property, you're kind of enveloped in this whole Disney atmosphere. You never leave. You don't see a CVS. You don't see a Walgreens. Everything is Disney. And so you never kind of leave the world of imagination right there. Off property would be any hotels that are not owned by Disneyland, even though they can be very close to the actual land of Disneyland. So do you want to start, Selena, talking about why you love staying at the Disneyland properties? And they are magical. The little magical touch, it is a wonderful experience.
Oh yeah, it makes a huge difference. And you know, part of it is when I grew up staying there at a certain point, you know, that was like our big family vacation for the year, was going to Disneyland every year. And so my parents pulled out all the stuff, and then they got to a point where they didn't want to walk that long distance between the main gates of the park and any of the off-property hotels. I love everything that you were describing about being in the Disney bubble. I like that, you know, the atmosphere doesn't end when the park ends its operating day. I also like the convenience of the walking distance right now. I've got two little kiddos. They are 3 and 6. They need naps in the middle of the day, and it's much easier to pack them up and roll them down downtown Disney to either one of the three hotels, usually Disneyland Hotel. It's convenient. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy Disney, but those are the two biggest reasons for me.
It's going to be significantly more expensive. Unlike Disney World, if you go to Disney World, almost everybody wants to stay on property, and staying on property is a much bigger thing. So if you came from a Disney World experience, you might think the only way to experience Disney is staying on property. But here there's very few hotels. There's only three, and there's a lot of people that want to stay there. So they can charge a lot. Like, it's not abnormal for those hotels to be $500, $600, $700, $800 a night. The suites can be even more. So it is expensive for somebody who's saying, well, you know, I can afford it, but is it worth it? What are some of the considerations that you look at?
The biggest one is the location factor, how close it is. And I know, having been to Disney World twice, only twice, and with Disneyland being my home park, when I saw the sprawl of Disney World and how long it took to get from a hotel to one of the parks, I was like, oh, okay, this is a whole new world for me. The three Disneyland hotels are within walking distance. And by walking distance, I mean, it takes at the longest, we'll say, Pixar Place Hotel is maybe 20 minutes from hotel to Disneyland main gate, a little bit shorter if you're going over to California Adventure theme park.
And Pixar Place now has a back entrance to California Adventure, so.
And if you're staying at the Disneyland Hotel, you can also use that entrance. It's not specific to the Pixar Place guests, although all of the signage is currently being transitioned to being themed over specifically to Pixar Place Hotel. But yeah, it's a very short walk. And then the rooms are much nicer. I want to say you, Robin, you're going to know better than me, the different sort of, levels, the different sort of categories of your stay at Disney World. I know there's like the value resorts, and then there's the more moderate ones, and then the luxury hotels. I would say that even Pixar Place Hotel being the more affordable of the three options is probably more of a moderate to almost luxury style hotel if you're comparing it to the Disney World accommodation. And a lot of the off-property hotels, the good neighbor hotels, the ones that are within walking distance from the parks, again, maybe more like a half an hour, depending on where you're going. And some have shuttles or maybe even farther away. They can be a little more on the motel side. But if you're not as picky about your amenities, if you're used to, you know, the Disney World value resorts, you'll feel like that's what you're used to.
Yeah. And I kind of tell people it's kind of like Vegas, you know, like a Vegas, you know, three-star hotel is going to be a little sketchy, right? Because they can charge a lot more for a motel across the street from Disneyland because of the convenience. So, and I 100% agree with you. Like the Pixar Pier, I would say it would be kind of a moderate, and then I'd say Grand California and Disneyland Hotel would both be deluxe. And, you know, with the Grand California, I feel like that's got like a very like spa, you know, like it's all about the beauty, and the nods to Disney are a lot more subtle. So it has a little, like not a stiff formal, but like more of a formal vibe, I think.
Oh yeah. Grand Californian is an arts and crafts architectural style. So it is a little bit more of a celebration of California, but it's not something that you're going to see along the typical beach style resorts. It's very natural as far as like the decorative elements. And you're right, the Disney touches are a little more subtle, and they're a little more about the woodland creatures. So Chip and Dale are featured very prominently in the decor. Bambi is featured in the decor. And that arts and crafts style, I actually went and saw another example of that recently. If you guys have ever been to Pasadena, there's a house called the Gamble House, and that's usually one of like the textbook definitions of the arts and crafts architectural style. Those beams, a lot of stone, a lot of wood, a lot of shell, a lot of like seeing the hand of the artist. There's hand hammered metals and hand painted tiles. You see those elements in the Grand Californian as well.
And so I would say that the Grand Californian, if you want to take it to like a normal hotel, would be more like a Ritz or a Waldorf. It has that high end feel. It's definitely a luxury hotel. Everything is based off that luxury, but the style is like what Selena said. So that's kind of what you're getting. And the access, the Grand California has the closest access to all three parks. It is the closest walking distance to Disneyland. It's the closest. I mean, it's literally just, it's right on the door of California Adventure. You step right in there, right from the property. So it's going to have the most convenience. So I think it's one of the easiest if you have to come back and take naps, or if you really like a luxury stay and you don't want to leave the bubble, I feel like that's kind of the best option there.
Absolutely. And it's definitely, like you were saying, the luxury style. They even have turn down service. So you come back, you know, after you've shut down the park, after you've closed it out at the end of the day, you come back and housekeeping has come in. They've dimmed the lights. There are chocolates on your pillow. So it is very much a luxury style experience. And like you were saying, it is the only hotel on Disneyland property that has a spa, the Tenaya Spa. I have not been to yet, but I am dying to go to, which has a combination of kind of more health and wellness style spa services, massages, facials, and all of that, and more salon style services as well. So it's luxury, and that extends to the dining too. And I don't know how, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole because we've done that before with the food. We've already talked about it, guys. Find the episode where we talked about Disneyland food. But there is a very, very nice dining experience attached to the Grand Californian. Don't need a hotel reservation to eat there, but you do get priority if you are a guest of the hotel. It's called the Napa Rose, and it is a high end, like they want you to wear a jacket if you can, type of experience.
And so when people are like, I'm a foodie, this is where I want to go, or I want to have a luxury experience, the Grand Californian is pretty much where all the luxury experiences are going to be, with the exclusion of the VIP tour, which happens in the parks. But if you're looking for that luxury feel, the pool has very much more, they do have a slide, but the pool does feel more like a classic upscale hotel. I feel like this would be a good time to talk about in comparison. The Disneyland Hotel is also very deluxe, but the vibe is very different because it's very classic Disney, very nostalgic Disney.
Yes, it feels like this hotel is where Walt would want to stay. That's at least how I justify it to myself, which is partially why I love it so much. It definitely has that sort of late 1950s vibe to it, the way that the main towers of the hotel are situated around the pool. There's a lot of retro nods to historical Disney. The pools are named, you know, the E ticket pool, the D ticket pool, the decor and the architecture. Yeah, very much 50s and 60s inspired. And it's still very much a deluxe like type of experience, but it feels more accessible, probably because it is the most overtly Disney of the three.
I mean, monorail, slide pool, like amazing tiki bar, you know, they've got, you know, Goofy's Kitchen, you know, they've got dining there, you know, teacups that you can sit in as you're waiting to check in. I mean, it is, and it's got an amazing history. If you are a history nerd and you're staying there, look up Defunctland. Defunctland's YouTube is awesome, but they have a whole episode on the Disneyland Hotel. And there's several other documentaries on this rich history that Disneyland Hotel has. And I think one thing that you'll hear over and over again is the headboards and how magical the headboards are.
Yes, the headboards. Okay. So if you've not stayed there, if you've not seen pictures, it is this beautiful dark stained wood headboard that has a relief of Sleeping Beauty Castle carved into it. And there's a little switch on the nightstand in between the beds. You go and push the button on the switch. You start to hear Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. And then the headboard lights up with fireworks above the castle. It is just so darling and charming. And it like makes me so happy every time that we stay there.
They have a concierge lounge at the top where you can see the fireworks if you get the concierge level. Like there's a lot of really amazing benefits. And I feel a little bit more Disneyland Hotel is my favorite of the three too. I think that, you know, Grand Californian is, you can't match the level of luxury. But for Disney, I feel like it matches what I want.
Yeah.
We're both kind of Walt people too. So, you know, like, yeah, we're all about the history. So, yeah.
And then the theme of Disneyland is just all over the hotel with more of that throwback vibe. So the three primary towers for your room stays, they're named after Adventureland, Fantasyland, Frontierland. At the entry level of Frontier Tower, there is a beautiful concept diorama of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's not like a working train, but just the level of detail is gorgeous. And my kids love seeing it every time that we are happily assigned to Frontier Tower. The other towers, Adventure and Fantasy Tower, have that same kind of nods to their respective lands. Adventure Tower, you're probably going to stay there if you get the deluxe rooms with the park views attached to them. Otherwise, you're going to probably be in a Fantasy or a Frontier Tower. Robin was mentioning the teacup chairs and tables in the lobby when you enter. So the main lobby is attached to Fantasy Tower.
It's just so much fun and there's so much history. And it, you know, it is also very, you know, you're right next to the monorail, which is the kind of your back entrance for Disneyland, which is going to be your closest entrance. And you know, you enter through, but in the mornings for both of, or all of these hotels, you can kind of use these back entrances. So there's the monorail at Disneyland, and then there's the two back entrances now at California Adventure that you have access to that regular park guests, you know, they might be able to use them in the evening or like midday, but in the morning, those are exclusively held for hotel guests. And so in the security line, you're not dealing with everybody there. Everybody going through those sections has early entry. So it can make things a lot smoother for you. And we're going to talk about the early entry is one of the big perks. But first we should talk about Pixar Place, which is it's a wonderful hotel. It's the furthest away, but we're talking like 500 feet. We're talking like a foot.
It's next door to Disneyland Hotel. It is literally next door. So it's like you're maybe adding another 2 minutes to your walk. I would say this is, while still probably, you know, a high moderate value style hotel, it is the most affordable of the three. And it does have the vibe reflects that a little bit more. I've not stayed there since it's become the Pixar Place Hotel. I've stayed there when it was the Paradise Pier. And even before that, when it was the Disneyland Pacific Hotel. So it's gone through a few rethemes in the last couple of decades. So hopefully this Pixar one will stick. But it has the many of the same amenities as the Disneyland Hotel and the Grand Californian. You know, you were mentioning those walkability to the parks, that special entry into the California Adventure Park, which is right near the main driveway into the Grand California Hotel. You just kind of stick to the south and the entrance will drop you off near the Corndog Castle. So it's a great way to skip the lines, like you were saying. There is a security checkpoint there. I have never seen anyone else in that line in the times that I've used that. It's shocking. I was kind of wondering, like, am I in a backstage part of the park right now? Like, what's going on? There's no one else here. So that is a great perk for sure.
And it's, you know, I would say it's probably the most casual. The Pixar theming is very clean, very crisp, but it feels very fun and easy. It doesn't feel maybe as formal as Meet the Grand California. The only negative really like that's a big negative compared to it is there's no character dining at that particular location at the time of this recording, at least not in the, and it hasn't been announced in the foreseeable future. So if you are looking for someplace where you can go down the stairs and get breakfast with Goofy or Mickey, you know, that hotel doesn't offer that, but it still offers all of the other perks. Let's start with, we talked about, I think, you know, nap time is not something that they list on the Disneyland website, but I think that going back and taking a nap is crucial to having a good day at Disney, especially if you have kids under the age of 7, or you're like me and you're now over the age of 35 or 40, and I need a nap, or me and my husband are not having fun at 10 o'clock at night. When you're staying on property, it is very easy to go back and get a change of clothes if you get wet, to take a nap, get more diapers. So it as far as convenience, I'll let you talk about anything you want to add there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So in my experience staying off property, I mean, I'm a rope drop to end of operating day spiel person. Like, I want to be there as long as I can, knowing that I will have to, you know, now with kids, go back and take a nap. But I want to maximize my park time, and staying off property tends to mean you've got to bring everything with you. So if you know it's going to get colder in the evenings, you got to make sure you've got your jackets, have your ponchos if you don't want to get wet, because having to go, you know, walk back off property to get a change of clothes is going to be a slog. You would have to plan for sure on renting a locker. I cannot remember the last time I rented a locker in the park. I know the price was going up and up, and it is kind of like luck of the draw if they happen to have lockers available. The hotel room, that's one of the big convenience points for me, is that you don't need to bring absolutely everything you need for your day. If you forget something, it's much easier to go back, whether it's, you know, your jacket for an adult, or if it's one of your kiddos, you forgot their favorite lovey, or you dropped one of their water cups or left it somewhere. Very easy to go back to your hotel room on property and get what you need before going back into the parks and playing for the rest of the day. I know that Disneyland has strollers that you can rent. I've never rented one of them because, again, I don't want to be kind of subject to the, well, do they still have availability? And I love maximizing my time in the park, so I don't want to wait in line to grab a stroller before going in. So being able to take that stroller in and out from the hotels to the parks, going through that very, very short line at security, either at the California Adventure entrance or even the main entrance into Downtown Disney, headed to either the monorail to get into Disneyland, or walking through Downtown Disney to go through the main gate of the park itself, that line is much shorter.
The lines are shorter. And then I think the biggest thing that is the biggest value, when people say, is it worth it to me or not, especially if you are going, this is a once in a year trip, and, you know, maybe there's only $300 difference between staying at a Disneyland hotel or not, is early entry. And so now there are specific days where, you know, some days it's California Adventure, some days it's Disneyland, but you would get to be in the park a half hour before everybody else. This means that now they don't open the entire park. It's usually Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, a couple of select rides. Not everything opens. But it also allows you to be, you know, ride a couple of those rides that generally have a longer line before anybody else gets there. And if you did decide you wanted to do something like Rise of the Resistance for rope drop, I don't usually recommend it because it doesn't always open on time and it's a long walk. But that gives you the best position to be at first.
Same goes for Radiator Springs Racers. Those two rides, I know that there's a lot of folks out there who would recommend do those at rope drop. I'm with you. That's a no. They're not always ready to go. In fact, more often than not, they're not going to be ready to go at park opening. So use that time to do something else.
So that early entry can allow you to ride maybe like five rides that you might normally have taken you 2 or 3 hours if you'd come in 10 o'clock. Now, you're only going to get value out of that staying at the hotels if you are a morning person that can get your family out the door by about 7 a.m. because you want to have them out the door through security, ready to go right at 7:30. But if you are able to get that full 30 minutes, you can get so much done in that small window of time. And then you can save that time later to take a nap when everybody else is busy standing in line. And then you're going to be able to get on the most number of rides and have the most enjoyable day.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And the early morning entry has always been a perk for me even before I had kids. I remember when it was called Magic Morning and then when it was called Extra Magic Hour. So it's gone through a few iterations. It really came in handy for my family in this most recent trip. We ended up having to go to guest services at each park at the start of our day. Guest services is open at the parks during this early entry time. And the line is significantly shorter. So if you're someone who's got to get into guest services for your day, that's going to be probably your shortest line of the morning. I was really shocked at how quickly we got through. It's also, like you were saying, a really good opportunity to get on some of those bigger rides. My family, while I was waiting in line at guest services in Disneyland, they were able to go on Peter Pan and the wait was under 20 minutes. It's a really great opportunity to get on some of those rides. You could also utilize that time to take advantage of a shorter Starbucks line if that's your thing. The lines for food tend to be a little bit shorter. They are one of the things that's open in specific lands in both parks, but I know that the Starbucks wait, I've seen it be the shortest during that hour.
So that's going to be your biggest thing, but you do have to be early risers. We talked about the back entrances. Also, if like, let's say you know you're going to buy your kids Christmas presents, but you don't want to see them lugging Rapunzel's castle all the way back to the hotel with you, you can buy items and have them sent to your hotel room, which especially if you want to buy stuff earlier in the day can be a really big value because you don't have to lug that around. You don't have to worry about it getting lost. You don't have to worry about it getting stolen. So the package, being able to send packages to your room is a big benefit.
Absolutely. And we have done just that recently, Robin, where we saw something over at Cars Land in Radiator Springs, purchased it, had it sent to the room. My son had no idea until Christmas morning this past holiday season. So yeah, really, really convenient to be able to send stuff back to your room.
And that can be helpful if you're going to do like lightsabers too, because you know you can have them sent back to your room. You don't have to carry those big bulky lightsabers or droids all day.
A couple more things. I know we want to talk about some off-property stuff as well. I want to make sure everybody knows that all three of the Disneyland hotels offer contactless check-in and a digital room key. They call it direct-to-room service. For all three of the hotels, you can actually check in within 5 days of your arrival. You submit your approximate arrival time. It's not a guarantee that your room will be ready before check-in, but the last three times that my family has been able to do this, we were able to get into our rooms, bypassing the lobby altogether, going straight to our rooms because it was assigned to us ready before that 3 p.m. standard check-in time. Got a digital room key that's attached to the Disneyland app, which can be really convenient. And for folks who don't really like that particular perk, you can still go down and get a physical key.
As somebody who loses keys constantly, I always appreciate a mobile key. So, and then they do reserve some dining in the hotels, reservations that can be harder to get. They hold some of those back for hotel guests. Those are the big benefits to staying on property. I think we touched on all the big ones, right?
I think so.
We kind of just really sold you on that. But you know, you might say, well, why do I not like to do that? And Selena goes to Disneyland often, but I go to Disneyland probably a dysfunctional level of often. So I because I go so often and because, you know, my day job, I do a lot of traveling. I have a lot of rewards, a lot of credit card points. You know, I have hotel status. So the biggest benefit to staying off property is going to be the cost. So you can stay at a hotel that the physical walking distance is almost the same as the Disneyland hotel for a fraction of the price. Now the rooms aren't going to be as nice. You're going to be having to walk across the street, you know, pass on IHOP, kind of those kind of things. But, you know, the value and the cost savings is enough that allows us to go back more often. Also, I'm a Marriott loyalist. And so because of that, I like staying at the Marriott hotels because I get, you know, special perks and upgrades, and it helps me get my platinum, titanium, ultra, elite status every year. But so if you have a loyalty because of work, there are, every hotel chain is right there. The Courtyard with the water park is really nice. Wonderful stay, clean rooms, clean facility, the doors open to interior halls. The Fairfield Inn is the closest Marriott, but it opens outside. And I would say it's definitely more of a motel feel. But then I really like the Marriott by the Convention Center. If you have snooty bougie access to the lounge, their breakfast is the favorite in the area. But there are several hotels across the street, like the Best Western, which I normally wouldn't stay in a Best Western because I'm a princess. Those ones can be pretty nice, and they have a lot of suite options. So if you have a family of six, some of those off-property ones might be much more affordable for you. When I'm looking at the hotels that are across the street from Disneyland, I really want to look at recent reviews. I want to look at how close is it to the park entrance, the main entrance, not the parking garage, not the, you know, you need to be able to look at how far you're actually going to walk. So anything that's on Harbor between Ball and Catella, those are going to give you the shortest walking distance. You know, as we get, you know, just on the other side of those, they are within walking distance, but a little further. The one thing that is different is that there's a big difference between staying in the hotels that are within walking distance and the ones that you would have to drive to or you'd have to take a bus to. Anaheim has a resort busing system called ART, A-R-T, that will bring you back and forth to a lot of the local resorts. They even will take you to Knott's Berry Farm and back. It's great if you have like an ECV and you don't want to have to move that into a car. There's a lot of really great options. But if you are someplace where you are going to have to drive to Disneyland, you need to think about, one, you're going to have to pay for parking probably at your hotel and at Disneyland. And then there's the drive. So in California, like in Phoenix, something that's 10 miles away is 10 minutes away pretty consistently. In Los Angeles, something that's a mile away could be 30 minutes away. So I find when I stay about 3 miles away, my drive time is about 10 to 15 minutes. And if I stay closer to 10 miles away, the drive time gets closer to 30 minutes. Now, that doesn't sound so bad, but then when you have to park and get on the bus, you know, get on the tram, you park your car, you go downstairs, you get on the tram. Now we're adding about a total of an hour of commute, which means it's much more difficult to go back to take a nap. It feels like a much bigger journey, and I end up not doing it, and then we end up having shorter park days. And then if somebody forgets the sunblock or somebody forgot their jacket, you know, well, now we're buying a jacket instead of do we really want to go all the way back to get that jacket? You really have to think everything through the farther you will get away from Disney. And the harder it is to change plans where you're like, okay, well, we thought we'd take a nap at 2:00. Well, it started raining. All right, well, now we need to think about, you know, we need to think about LA traffic and all sorts of other things. It adds a lot of variables. So for me, I love staying off property because I can usually find a pretty good deal, but I won't usually stay more than 3 miles away unless there's a really good reason, because it adds so much more time. And if you are staying in like 3 to 5 mile range, you might want to consider Ubering back and forth to the park instead of driving, so you don't have that extra time and hassle of parking in the parking garages.
I was just thinking about how you were talking about how when you're staying on property, you are on property. It is Disney businesses, Disney licensed businesses. When you're off property, if you need that convenience of like a CVS or a Walgreens or something else, it is easier to access those things. There's also more food options. If you're not wanting the theme park food, and I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't, because that's amazing. If you're looking for, you know, like a McDonald's or a Panera, you are going to find that, particularly along Harbor Boulevard. So they'll be within walking distance of your hotel. And so that convenience can be an incentive for folks who want to stay off property.
So the biggest thing when you're looking at these off property hotels is you need to make sure you really look at the interior and the exterior of the rooms. Make sure that's going to meet your standards. Make sure you look for any reviews recently for bed bugs. That's just across anytime you stay at a hotel, look for those. You know, But bed bugs happen even in the fanciest resorts. The only time that I've ever had an issue with bed bugs was in a 5-star all-inclusive Westin property. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the property is dirty or bed bugs happen. We want to make sure that we're not seeing a lot of people complain about it. But making sure you're comfortable with it, like the way that the, you know, some people don't feel comfortable having hotels that open to the exterior. They want that interior hallway. And you think about whether or not there's free parking or not. Is there free breakfast or not? Don't assume because it's a Fairfield Inn they will have free breakfast, because Fairfield Inn is a great example. They don't offer free breakfast there, even though pretty much every other Fairfield Inn in the country does. So, and they might be stricter about like checking early policies, things along those lines. So make sure you look at the reviews. The biggest thing that as you're looking at those reviews and decide is figuring out how much will you save and how far is the walking distance to the park, and then trying to decide how much time you're going to be spending in the room. You know, does the pool matter? I will tell you that even though we don't usually go to the pool very often because we're from Phoenix, pools are everywhere here. We can swim anytime we want pretty much any day of the year. So pools aren't as big of a deal for us, but it is nice after you've been walking literally 10 miles to be able to get into a hot tub while the kids play for a little bit and relax those muscles. So then you kind of want to look at some of those things. But there are a lot of, like she said, there's a lot of other food options. It's easier to get Uber Eats delivered, those kinds of things. And, you know, I'll have have you ever done Instacart or Uber Eats to the Disneyland hotels?
Not to the Disneyland hotels, no, but I have seen drop-offs at my most recent visit. They were dropping it off down at the lobby.
I just don't know how that would, because they can be a little, they're pretty strict about parking, especially at the Grand Californian, because people want to park there, and it's really only for hotel guests or people who have dining reservations there. So they're pretty particular. So, but I think the biggest benefits to staying off are going to be, you know, I'm going to be looking at the cost. I'm going to be looking, do I already have hotel points where I can stay for free because I've done those credit card points. And then the thing that I was leading to that I kind of lost track along the way is people ask, is it safe to walk to my hotel in that part of California? And I will tell you that especially at the corners, you will see homeless people, but around park operation from about 1 to 2 hours before the park opens till about an hour and a half after, there is a steady stream of people on those streets all the time. I've never really felt unsafe walking even as far as just a little bit past the convention center. So you're going to be walking with a large group of people. You're almost never going to be alone. And so, you know, even as a woman by myself, I do feel safe on those streets. If you want to stay kind of, a little bit closer, then that does eliminate the most of the homeless that are around are usually near the bus stops, kind of at the corners. But, you know, they've never bothered me. They're doing the best that they can. And, you know, so I've never felt unsafe walking there. I will tell you that walking in the morning sounds like a great idea. And then on the way back, we might decide to take an Uber, or we might decide to take an ART bus back, you know, because the walk back, that last 5 minutes feels like 700 hours.
And I have heard friends of mine say that like that walk back with littles in particular can be a real slog, particularly if you have rented a stroller and you have to check it back at the main gate as you're leaving the park, and you still have to walk with these very tired little ones. The last time I stayed off property, carried my son from the main gate to the Fairfield Marriott, and oh boy, were my arms sore the next day. And that's my main takeaway from that trip. That was my son's second trip to Disneyland, and that's like the thing that stands out in my mind, which is kind of a bummer. But
I will say that if you are staying off property and you are not bringing your stroller, I would highly recommend, this goes for wheelchairs too, do not rent at Disneyland. Have them brought to your hotel room, because carrying them that last mile will kill you. And, you know, so staying within a mile is going to be walking distance, but just know you might want to have it on the way back. You might decide to take other transportation back. The Uber pickup at Disneyland from about 9:30 to about 10:30 is ridiculous. Your driver will be 700 feet away and it will be 30 minutes sometimes. So if that is where you are going to be picked up, sometimes it's better for you to walk down to an other location, patronize that business down farther, not across the street. They're very strict at the McDonald's across the street and stuff about Uber pickups, but walking a little bit further for an Uber pickup. But there are buses that will take you from the resort to those local area hotels if you are too tired to walk. Was that walking across the street? Was that the thing that pushed you over? You were like, never again.
It was just not a great experience overall. And I don't know if it was just because of that particular weekend, which was, it was the weekend in between. It was an early Thanksgiving year. It was like the weekend in between Veterans and Thanksgiving. But yeah, that walk back, we just had a really weird stay. When we checked in, we were almost like, it was over an hour after check-in time before we got a room.
And that's not abnormal in those area hotels because they know they can get away with it, you know. And there are hotels that are known for really, you know, like, you know, the Candy Cane Inn has a wonderful reputation. Anaheim has a wonderful reputation, you know, but they're, you know, especially some of the hotels that are across the street, they know that you're staying there because it's across the street, not because they have 5 stars on TripAdvisor. So, you know, you do kind of have to build in a little bit more allowance. I'm not saying that it's right, but it just kind of is the way that it is.
And we ended up missing our reservation in Downtown Disney because of that. So it was just a series of unfortunate events. But like you were saying earlier, if you plan on more time, if you're staying off property, not just because of the, you know, the walking distance, but that security coming off of Harbor Boulevard, everyone who is walking distance is funneling in there. So they're coming in off of Catella, they're coming in off of Harbor. It can be a really, really long wait. And then you still have to walk across the Esplanade if you're going to Downtown Disney, or you have to walk into the main gate. You still have to get your ticket scanned. So if you're looking at, you know, planning out your day, taking advantage of a lot of, you know, the things you can make reservations for, be mindful of that if you're staying off property. I mean, definitely still do it. But I would plan on being there a half an hour before you actually need to be there to make sure that you don't miss it.
You can have a wonderful trip at Disneyland doing both. So it's just about deciding what you're, you know, I've had magical, magical trips on property. I've had magical, magical trips staying at an Airbnb when we didn't have a lot of money. You know, those can be a little bit sketchier, but they can be wonderful, but sometimes they're not wonderful. It's really about determining what is most important for your family. So if, you know, you determine that, you know, we're not early risers, we don't mind walking. And, you know, for us, if we can afford to do individual lightning lanes for both things and do Genie Plus, that's a better value for us than being able to stay closer because our kids are older. There's not a right or wrong answer. It's just listening to kind of what the different points of each one. So off property, you might be able to get free breakfast, or you know, you might be able to have free parking at some of the farther away hotels. So there are pros and cons to every option. It's just finding out what works best with what your family needs and what your trip goals are, whether it's rides or shows or, you know, just trying to relax, which Disneyland's not really a relaxing place. So you probably picked the wrong destination, but
I mean,
it can be, it can be,
but it's just, yeah, you just have to know going in and do your homework. Which, you know, Park Magic isn't gonna help you. Do your homework and know what your priorities are. And I will say, off property, the better experiences that I've had were the hotels that were not attached to a larger chain. You know, this is when I was in my 20s and I had an annual pass, but I couldn't afford to stay on property when it was just, you know, me and my then boyfriend at the time, now my husband, or me and my sister doing like a quick sister trip. I didn't have those points. So I ended up staying at a couple of the more, the independent, smaller, that are kind of a little bit more hotel style. But because they don't have that brand awareness, in my experience, they've gone a little bit more of that extra mile to provide a little bit of that Disney magic on their property.
There are some hotels that are connected to brands that I do feel like they phone in a little bit because they are across the street. And, you know, hotels like the Anaheim, like the Candy Cane Inn, they do have to fight for that brand recognition. And so they take their reputation a little bit more seriously, I think. So I think that is a good point. And, you know, nothing gets talked about more than, you know, people's experiences at hotels. So there's lots of information and reviews. Just make sure you kind of make sure that whatever hotel you pick matches the needs of your family. And we hope that this episode has been helpful in letting you pick and know that this is just one component of your trip. So if it's stressing you out too much, you can always look at a travel agent. They can help you book. I think the other benefit to booking on Disney's website, even if you're using a Good Neighbor Hotel, is that you can pay off your tickets and your hotel in payment with a, put a deposit down and make payment. So there are lots of options. But anyway, we hope this episode has been helpful. And if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to us at hello@parkmagic.com or reach out to us on any of our socials. Thanks and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Park Magic Podcast. For more tips and planning tools designed to help simplify your Disneyland adventure, visit parkmagic.com. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to hear more tips, be sure to subscribe to the Park Magic Podcast. And don't forget to leave us a review. Your feedback helps us spread the magic even further. Leaving a review could also help you. Each month, we will be selecting one reviewer to win a one-hour planning session with Robin. Winners will be announced at the end of the first episode of every month. Thanks for tuning in, and remember that we are here to help you have a less stressful and more magical trip to Disneyland.